It's here and now. When a shooting or stabbing victim arrives in an emergency room, sometimes they've lost so much blood that they've only got minutes to live. But what if surgeons had more time, say, an entire hour, to try to save that person's life? Well, a bold new clinical trial at the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center hopes to give hospitals those precious extra minutes by putting some extreme trauma patients in a form of suspended animation. And they'll do it by temporarily replacing the patient's entire blood supply with chilled salt water. Six other medical centers are hoping to join the trial, including the University of Maryland's Shock Trauma Center in Baltimore. And that's where the study's lead researcher, Dr. Samuel Tischerman, is now working. He joins us from WYPR in Baltimore. Dr. Tischerman, welcome. And let's start by having you explain exactly how does this procedure work?
So I need to set the stage a little bit. We're talking about patients who come in with penetrating trauma, like gunshot wounds, stab wounds. They've already had a cardiac arrest, and they've probably lost more than half the blood volume. We do all our normal things to try to save them. They don't work. We would then switch to what we are calling emergency preservation and resuscitation, or EPR, and that would then entail placing a large tube, we call a cannula or catheter, directly into the aorta, and then pumping in a large amount of ice-cold saline, which is just salt water. And the main point there isn't so much to get their blood out or use the salt water. It's mainly just that that's the fastest way that we found to cool them. And the cooling is basically to decrease oxygen demands while there's no blood supply to organs and tissues, particularly the brain, to buy time for the surgeons to operate and get control of the bleeding.
Now, it's been written that these patients are basically clinically dead at the time. Is that correct?
Well, they don't have a pulse, and if you were to have electroencephalogram on them to look at their brain waves, they would be flat. But I wouldn't say that they're dead because we can resuscitate them, hopefully, and we're going to try to. So we wouldn't be at a point where the surgeon would say, you know, this person's dead, we're going to stop trying to save them. So they're pretty close, but we're hoping to still to save them and have them go back to being normal people.
And the entire point of this idea, this procedure, is to increase the amount of time that trauma surgeons have to try and repair the wounds on these patients. Is that right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. We know that oftentimes these patients have injuries that technically we can fix. The problem is we just don't have time. And so every extra second or minute that somebody has no blood flow, the greater the chances that we're not going to be able to save them.
And so time is of the utmost essence in emergency rooms with these massive traumas that come in. But I'm wondering if you could tell me, what was the inspiration behind really crafting this radical new procedure? Because I think when people think of bodies that have been chilled, they think of those stories of children who fall into icy lakes and end up in a form of suspended animation and are resuscitated. Or, it's even been widely reported that there are already procedures that when, in an operating room, when there's some form of cardiac surgery, a person may be chilled in order to help with that surgery. But the situations in an emergency room are completely different. The person's already been injured. It's not as controlled as it would be, say, in the case of open heart surgery.
You hit the nail on the head in terms of some of the things that we knew about that helped us think that this idea could work. We recognize that what we currently do often doesn't work, and it's heartbreaking to do everything we possibly can to try and save someone and not be able to do that. And recognizing that this type of hypothermia can be achieved in cold water drowning, as you mentioned, as well as it's used every day by cardiac surgeons for particularly complex types of operations, that it might be able to work in this situation.
Now, cutting-edge science always has to venture into the area where it's never been done before, right? But that's also the exact area where ethical concerns are raised. And I'm sure you are very familiar with some of the questions that people have been asking. I mean, we read Dr. Art Kaplan of New York University in the New York Times saying that the process would essentially be bringing people back from the dead, and that there's a risk due to that long time without oxygen that people could be brought back in a vegetative state.
Well, any kind of resuscitation there's always a risk that the patient will survive and have significant brain damage from the cardiac arrest itself. We don't know if what we're doing is going to increase that risk or decrease it, but we need to forge ahead.
Now, you've already done this experimental procedure on dogs and pigs, and I read that 90% of the animal subjects have survived and have even shown, I guess as much as you can measure, a lack of cognitive impairment. They remember tricks and stuff. But how confident can you be that remembering tricks in a dog or a pig is roughly equivalent to the full consciousness and cognitive abilities of a human being?
Well, it is hard to know for sure. We also look at the histology of the brain itself, so we can look at the cells and see if they all look normal, which doesn't necessarily mean that they function normally. But we can put all that together to say that best we can tell, they seem to be back to being normal animals. We've done enough. We've done so much in the lab. It's time to start trying this in patients. We've got patients that are dying every day from gunshot wounds, stab wounds, and other types of trauma. And it's time to try something different.
Right. So that's what I wanted to ask you about. Patients that you would be working on, they have to come into the emergency room with massive trauma, gunshot wounds, stab wounds, car accidents, that kind of thing. And they are literally within minutes of death. So it's not exactly a time where you're going to get, you know, informed consent from them. So your team has been doing, you know, widespread outreach, right, in Pittsburgh through advertisements, town hall meetings, et cetera. I understand that there's an opt-out bracelet, essentially, that people can wear if they don't want to undergo this procedure, but you've only got about, roughly a dozen people who have chosen to opt out?
That's about it at the moment. The process has been worked out by federal agencies like the FDA, who oversee trials like this. And all of us who do this are very open to other suggestions or ways to do this that would make everybody feel comfortable with it, because we recognize that this is a problem. Mm-hmm. But this is currently the best that we've got, and I'm sure we'll keep changing. The process will evolve over time as we do more emergency research with this acceptance from informed consent.
Well, Dr. Samuel Tischerman is the lead researcher of a new clinical study where doctors will remove a patient who's suffering from massive trauma, remove that patient's blood, and replace it with cold salt water to induce hypothermia in an effort to save that person's life. Dr. Tischerman, thank you so much for joining us.
Great. Thanks for having me.
You're listening to Here and Now.